Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about, well, when governments get out of control, or at least they don't really stop their people from getting out of control. America, the rest of the world, we kind of have a history of getting out of hand and kind of turning on the people. And, you know, it's played out over and over again. And like I said, sometimes it's kind of the government just turns a blind eye. And sometimes, you know, it's full on government, and it just it taints a people's history. And whoever writes the history books, they get to kind of create, you know, their own version of history. And that's what's kind of interesting. So, you know, the details from the story, they always, you know, are told by the winner, right? You know, and so they get to have their own. And then I think now, you know, America is trying to, I guess, right some wrongs, and we're trying to, you know, dig up our ugly, sordid history. But then we almost seem to be going to the other extreme in some of our recreations. Like, oh, yeah, it was just, you know, every single white person was horrible, mm-hmm. You know, and we kind of go that way, you know, but it obviously, there's a mix, but there's also obviously cases where people are completely wrong, that the government, you know, you can paint it any way you want, but there's no way that, you know, you weren't wrong. When you're like, oh, yeah, we went out and we just shot everybody standing there. And you're like, yeah, but they were looking at us bad. You know, you're like, well, yeah, that doesn't really. And that's what I feel like the defense that you kind of read sometimes. It comes across like that. You know, they're like, yeah, we had to lynch him while he was unarmed because he was resisting arrest. And you're like, no, that's not really, no, that doesn't sound accurate to me. So anyway, we wanted to kind of touch on some of the how that stuff some of the history and how what's played out, but also maybe how it plays out. One of the guys in the Prepping Badass Facebook group, Antoine, had mentioned that this might be a good topic for us to kind of delve into. I think he wanted to hear our take, and I'm sure we'll probably end up offending some cops and some white people and some black people.
That's
and
what we do on this podcast.
We'll
though,
touch
right?
on I everybody. Mean, everybody's going to be offended.
If we offend everyone equally,
somewhere along
then it's
the
all
right. way, then we're just assholes. You're not a cop hater or a racist. You're just an asshole when you just hate everybody, I think. But you know, we're going to kind of dig in and see where people are fucking up and see if we can't maybe open up some people's minds to some different thoughts and maybe have a little insight on how things play bad. Because it's funny, you always talk to, you know, I preach at my kids all the time about the evils of communism or, you know, things like that. And they're like, well, no, I read it. It's not that bad. You know, in Russia, they still think Stalin was a freaking great guy, you know? And you're like, well, no, that's not
20 accurate. Million people. That's
or Mao Zedong, right? In China, you know, you're like, yeah.
So only 50 million dead people. Right. Come on.
It's just fertilizer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that wrong? Yeah, well, I'll take that out. We'll edit that out. All right. Or not. Yeah.
No, I wanted to get started.
No, but that's the callous attitude that people have.
I wanted to get started. Right.
Where do we start?
Outside the United States. You know, we're talking about some things that are going on right now and things that have, you know, happened recently in the recent past. But I wanted to start off with the Uyghur Muslims. Now, the Muslims live in, you know, the Uyghurs live in a specific frontier part of northwest China called the Xinjiang province.
Okay.
There. So that was primarily descendants of a Turkish group that lived in that area. And China is not a big fan of organized religion. They never have been. They're not a fan of Christians. Like, you have to get a permit to be a Christian, but then if you get a permit, then you also end up in jail and they harvest your organs, whatever. I mean, do what you want. I guess they're expensive. It's money.
There is a lot of organ harvesting going on in the world these days.
China seems to be making some money off some organs.
All right. Well, at least they're giving back, you know?
That's... So basically, China saw the Uyghur Muslim ethnic and religious group as being a damaging influence on the Communist Party. It's anti-communist. So they started working. They're doing basically a systematic destruction of that culture. You know, they're banning the language, and then they're sending people to re-education camps, which are not the same as concentration camps, if you ask the Chinese anyway. But what they do there is, you know, it's basically like forced sterilization. So you can't make more babies, you know, that way, you know, you kind of work that out.
Muslims that way.
They're forced to renounce their religion, or they're tortured to death if they don't. You don't have to commit a crime to actually be arrested for being a Muslim. You can just exist. You can be that race. You can be born that race. And that's enough to get arrested there. Now they speak Turkish there, which is now banned. And they're setting up this pervasive surveillance network in the Xinjiang province, where they're setting up police checkpoints. And then they've got cameras that are collecting everything, like license plate numbers, facial recognition software is collecting, you know, people's biometric data. They're collecting people's mobile phone data, and they're monitoring it to like such an extent that they're monitoring people's electricity use and how often they open their front door. And so that, you know, basically just existing is against the law there. You know, if you're part of this ethnic group, so they're just trying to straighten that out. So they're doing it like through two ways. One is they're sterilizing most of the people so that they can't have kids. And then the other ones they're raping so that the babies are at least half Han Chinese and half, you know, only half Uyghur. So, you know, you can kind of breed them out by doing it that way. And it seems there's a lot of the world governments have, you know, said that China is committing genocide, but China is just saying that we're making it all up and none of this is happening and it's all bullshit.
Okay. because America is having huge human rights violations, trying to keep pointing out. And they recommend we have some investigations. Yeah.
So, I mean, like that's been their game for a long time is that, you know, that Pee Wee Herman shit, like I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
It also works in kindergartens across America. So
I mean, that's what's going on in China. And, you know, there is massive genocide going on over there, and you can call it whatever you want. And China's not calling it that. But, you know, that's basically what's happening. But that's not like a new thing in the world, you know?
No, it's easy to dismiss it because we don't like Muslim people as veterans and things like that. We're taught in the military that we should be, now they're teaching that Muslims are okay. But I know when I was in, they were like, oh, Muslims are bad. Right. And that's it. You just need to not like these people. They're less than human. And that's one of the things that they really build up in your mind that these people are inferior. So you're like, okay. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I find, I'm trying to think of the right word. We'll say at a minimum disturbing about the Muslim religion. I don't like the freedoms that women have or the way they're treated and the way they basically become property for stuff. I find that an assault against freedom and in libertarian kind of individuality. And I find it very disturbing, but on the flip side, you can't just be rounding up people and like, hey, I don't really agree with you.
See the way your eyes are shaped a little bit different than mine. Nah, you're done for, brother.
I'm seeing some shadiness, right? Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. Now, do you remember Kosovo? Right. And former Yugoslavia.
Used to be Yugoslavia. Yep.
And that's kind of tricky too. So I tried to get the name. Now I was actually there, when we were, liberating, Yugoslavia there, right. When, Milosevic and the craziness was going on. And, it's funny. I looked up the name cause like the medals I have are, you know, they say like liberated former Yugoslavia. And I'm like, all right, well, what do I call it now? What's whatever. So I was like, oh, what did former Yugoslavia become? And then they're like, oh, well, in 1992. And I'm like, wait, that's before I was there. They said Yugoslavia became former Yugoslavia. Like they called it like the Federation of former Yugoslavia.
And I'm
like,
Yugoslavia.
Wait a minute. It already was former Yugoslavia. Yeah, exactly. Then, so it turns out now it's just kind of divided into the other countries around it. So it's actually like parts of six countries that have absorbed it as, you know, things went on. So anyway, I don't know. You had some you wanted to touch on with this, right?
Yeah. So what was going on there is basically there were five or six different cultural and ethnic groups living in Yugoslavia at the same time. And, you know, people get unhappy about that when there are other people in their country. I don't know. Maybe you've heard about some things like that. But there were Bosniaks. Kosovars, you know, then now that's Kosovo and Bosnia. There's Serbians and Albanians, and then there were two other ethnic groups living in that country. Now there's multiple different religions: Catholic, Protestant, Sunni, Shiite, Muslim, and you know, like just about every group you can think of, which is always a mix for bad shit when you can give all the guns and power to one of those groups.
Yeah.
So basically the Serbians were not happy about anybody else existing. And they just did their best to make sure they could straighten that out by killing everybody.
And the government's like, do what you got to do. And then actually the government ended up having a hand in that, and they would roll in the military. Now this is like the way it used to play out is kind of crazy. So what they would do is the military would roll into a town And they would have everybody come out, and they'd check them out, and they'd be like, oh, are these people like us, or are they not like us, right? Are they good, or are they bad? So if there were, you know, men that were not like them, then they would lynch them up and hang them right there in the town. And they would hang them up and or just execute them straight, shoot them there. Then the women and children, they would go and they would rape all the women. And because that way they're going to have good babies and not bad babies. You got to think ahead with this kind of stuff.
That includes
they would say,
it's
not
just the women that we think of, but like what I consider children, you know, 14-year-old, 13-year-old women.
Yes. Well, I think it probably even went younger than that, but yeah. So then they would be like, you can't stay here. This isn't any good. Go to the next town or
and
whatever.
All the
they would all leave so they and go to, or burn it, whatever. They'd go to the next village and then they'd roll into the next village the next, you know, day, week, whatever. And this cycle would go on until they basically exterminated. And it's really that same thing, you know, of that China's doing of destroying culture, destroying everything that they have to connect to their past and the way they were. So that way they're recreated kind of in the right way. Right. You know, that was Hitler's, make the perfect kind of human being, you know, let's get to the right. You know, if everybody's blonde hair, blue eyed and beautiful and not Jewish spreading diseases or whatever, then it would all work out, you know? And that's the thing. I think we get so caught up in, well, these are different people than us, you know, because they're cultures that as Americans, we don't really understand. You know, people always talk about how Europeans are so diverse and worldly and knowledgeable. Well, the reason is because you have six countries all right next to each other and on top of each other. I don't know about the six. I just made that up. I picked a random number. Is it more than that? Okay, whatever. I just know England's an island, so I don't even know if they see other people. Europeans, right? I don't even know. But again, that comes from that American school education, right? Yep. Isn't that how that works? So you have all these countries, and they're all interacting, whereas America's kind of been isolated, right? We're across the pond. We have a different mindset, and it's hard to see. So, but it also, in that way, makes it easy for us to distance ourselves from them. There, it's like, well, yeah, you know, the Nazis and stuff, they were all out of control and you know, whatever. They're crazy people who didn't understand anything and they're so ignorant, whatever. And it's easy to dehumanize people, you know, to dismiss their actions. Not that we make it acceptable, but it's easy to like put it in a box in our mind, the Chinese, you know, because we have no understanding as the average American of the Chinese culture, right? I have no idea what goes through their head or how they do their, you know, family meals. They're just completely different than we are. And, you know, once you get to know people more and more, you start to realize we're actually all have kind of the same desires and wants. We may go about doing it a different way, but we all really kind of want that same connection and, you know, and stuff for our families, that kind of stuff. Unless you get certain people who are just filled with hate, because it's easy to teach hate and build on that. And we're going to kind of touch on that here in a minute, but we get so caught up in, well, they're different than us, so they're not really, they don't have value. And honestly, I think the military does a big thing with that. In order for you to be an effective soldier, you can't see them as human beings, as people that are just like you and me, people like your brother, your sister, your parents, you know, people with families, people who you would care about. You have to kind of separate them and they really focus on teaching you to see them as, well, they're commies, they're right. gooks or whatever they called them in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, all these, you know, slanty eyes or, you know, these different things, these horrible names that we call people. And because it takes them from being human beings and makes them into, you know, just objects or mm-hmm. you know, animals really is I guess what they're going for. And you really bring down people to a lower level. And that's what happens. Now, it's easy to say, well, over there, they're different because we don't understand. But then we turn to the American history. And Kevin, we've had some troubling history in our past here in America.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few things going on for a while. Now, racism in America is like, it's
apple pie.
Exactly. But there's like another level, I mean, you know,
been there for,
I remember talking, you know, especially when you talk to like older Americans, you kind of get some of it. I remember talking to my girlfriend's great grandmother. And, she was racist on like so many levels. It was pretty impressive. She said, she goes, well, he's Dutch. You know what that means? And I was like, oh, no, I don't know. Apparently Dutch people are not good at, they're not very fertile. They're not good at making babies. Yeah. And then there's Italians, yeah. You know, they've got their own thing. They're German people, you know, they're all kind of assholes. Irish, you know, drunks. You could go through the whole list of every mm-hmm. race, especially when you get to one of those older people, man, that really remember them all. She was Serbian though, and Serbians were perfect. They were fine. The other races,
right,
that America is surprised of that were not correct. And I know, if you go back in history, right here in my local area, there's a major construction project where they built an aqueduct from upstate New York down to the city. And I found an old sheet that had the amount people got paid, and it was broken down by race. So Italians made this much an hour. Irish made this much an hour. African-Americans made this much an hour. And so you could break it down, you know, just where your grandparents came from dictated how much money you got paid, because, there's like a level of laziness up and down that they viewed, you know, some races are lazier and some are harder working. And, you know, it's been going, this racism in the United States is not a new thing. It's been going on since day one.
I think racism in the world is not a new thing and mm-hmm. it's been going on. But yes, America definitely has its history. So, That was one of the things. So one of the big ones, I think we'll start out with the, it's, I believe it's Okoye. Okoye. There was a guy, July Perry.
Where's that at? Florida. Okay.
Florida. Or up that way. At least I think I'm going to get in trouble here. Okoye. It's Okoye, but you spell mm-hmm. it like Okoye. And it's funny because Antoine shared a documentary and I watched it, and they said Okoye for the first half of it, and then they called it Okoye for the second half of it. And I'm also horrible. I know the town that I live in mm-hmm. right now, I don't know, still can't pronounce the name correctly. And I'm like, isn't it like this? And then they'll say it back to me. No, it's not. It's like this. And I'll be like, that's what I said. You know, so I don't know where mm-hmm. I'm going wrong. But
see, it's all these damn white people that can't even speak English Florida. In this country.
Right. And, you know, it's my complete lack of disrespect mm-hmm. for their people, you know, right? For the locals. So anyway, it's Okoye, Florida. And there was a guy, July Perry, and very contradictory to the world we seem to live in now, he wanted to organize his community to vote. And it turns out, because his community was African-American, this was frowned upon. And they did not feel in Florida that that was acceptable. And by they, we mean half of the community, which was pretty much KKK guys. Now, what's unique about Okoy is that it actually was a thriving area for Black people. I guess as I got into it, like picking cotton and doing stuff paid like very little. I think they said it was, you know, I don't know. They had numbers, right, but I couldn't really wrap my head around, like, because they're like, oh, for a bushel of cotton, it was 40 cents. But for oranges, you'd get like 70 cents a crate. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I have no idea how long it takes.
Yeah, I don't know how long a crate or a bushel takes.
I don't, right. You know, I'm like, all right, I don't know. But the idea is they realized that, you know, if they were picking fruit, that they could make a lot more money. And everybody knows we go where the money is, right? So Okoy ended up like having a lot of work, and people ended up building a real successful thing there, you know, for themselves. And so, yeah, that little bit of backstory. But I know they said they actually compared it to the Black Wall Street.
Right.
And because it was like a real thriving area for African-American community. And so they were really doing great. And so anyway, this guy, July Perry, decided that him and another guy, that they were going to organize and get people out to vote. And after talking to, you know, other politicians in Florida, they kind of set up to work it out. And all these guys paid their poll tax, which again is another racist, you know, scar in America's history. And they were all ready to go vote. And they were actually working with this a white guy named Judge Cheney. And he, Judge Cheney was the one kind of helping them orchestrate and set it up, just showing them their rights and what they could do and helping them kind of navigate the laws, because it can all be overwhelming, especially when you haven't done it before. So anyway, he set them up and they were like, all right, we're going to go out and vote. Now, apparently there was a big distaste for this, because this is an area where the KKK and a lot of these, you know, really racist type groups were kind of able to thrive. We'll say that. And which is kind of weird, but it was, you know, such a strong African-American community as well, you know, that you kind of had the two hand in hand, but I guess it's, you know, both sides of the tracks. Right. And so anyway, they ended up, they go to vote and they get turned away and they're like, no, you can't. And so July Perry went back and talked to Judge Shane Eames, like, what do you think? They said that we're not eligible and that we can't vote. He's like, no, you paid your poll tax and you need to go back and give it a try. Well, that didn't work at all. So they ended up chasing these people out and actually back to their homes. And then they were actually hiding in their houses, and they ended up like demanding they come out. And I mean, this guy was like, sent his daughter and his wife away and was like, they're coming to kill me. I'm not going to live, but you need to, you know, you need to get out of here and just go as far as you can. And they end up chasing him into the swamp, and they're running through the swamps and whatever. They end up burning down houses, and basically everybody involved with this who they could try and find, they ended up, you know, lynching them. And so the deputy got together a lynch mob. I know I'm a little out of order on this. It gets a little away from me. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But they got a lynch mob. They go to the houses, and that's why he had a little time, no, whatever. They end up hiding out in the swamps. They find him. And the thing is, the reporting on this is so horrible. They say that somewhere between 3 and 60 people were killed that night.
That's a pretty big disparity.
I mean, that's a dramatic, you know, discrepancy. Exactly. And they ended up, this July Perry ended up being hung, and shot and hung in the Judge Cheney's front yard. And so they did an autopsy and the medical examiner checked it out. And he writes his report. Oh, he died due to, you know, being hung. And he said, but there's no connection to the voting and any of that.
Because he could no tell. Connection. The medical examiner so could tell from were, the body.
Yeah. Right. He did an investigation. Yeah. There's no connection. Then he called the feds in. The medical examiner didn't. I guess there was kind of an outcry from the local community. And they did an investigation. And the feds came in. And it turns out that nobody's right to vote was violated and nobody's constitutional rights were violated. There was no discrepancy there. Everything was okay. Here. Nothing happened, you know, but so yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting how we kind of like wash over our past. And it was weird where there's no accountability. And then they're doing interviews in this documentary I watched, and they're going back and talking to people in the town present day. And it turns out they're still pretty racist there. And they still have some shadiness going on. Everyone's like, oh, you're moving to Okoy. And it ended up being pretty lousy. But this is one example.
And the worst part is they never got refunded for the poll tax. You know?
They didn't get their money back. So, I mean, you'd think that would, I can't even comment on that without getting in trouble. All right. Then that was in 1920. Now I'm going to take you all the way into the future to 1921. Because we obviously learned from our mistakes. We had the Tulsa riots. Now, the Tulsa riots, supposedly, the way this one started out, it was rumored and nothing really seemed to be factual on anything anybody said, but there was a girl who worked as a elevator, like doorman. What are you called when you're an elevator worker? Like bellhop or I don't know. So anyway, they was supposedly assaulted by an African-American. Maybe not. It sounded pretty much fictitious. Maybe the black guy wanted to use the elevator.
Right.
And that was enough. That's wrong. You know, I don't know. I just know that, again, it's the winners, you know, write the history and it kind of ends bad. So they end up going and deciding to demand that they like turn over this guy and, you gotta, you know, give him to us so we can kill him, you know, cause that's what we do with people who offend us, you know, people who are different than us. So they end up like rioting and like, I guess the African-American community got back together to kind of like defend this guy. And so they end up, they make a wall and they're like, hey, no, you can't, you know, go in there. So the white people in the community end up just going ballistic. They start burning everything. They're beating people in the streets. They said that they burned 5 churches, 1,200 homes, and the black community hospital ended up getting completely, you know, destroyed. The white hospital refused to let any African Americans in there because, you know, that would be ridiculous. And they, again, once again, 150 to 300 African Americans were killed because they have no idea. They ended up and it left 10,000 African Americans homeless.
Yeah.
10,000. And having your house burned down, that's pretty dramatic. That's all your stuff is gone. Everything you own, your savings, your everything, it's gone. And then you're thinking, well, you know, at least, you know, FEMA or somebody came in and helped them out. Well, turns out they did come up and set up some camps and they put them all in the camp where they were not allowed to leave, and they were detained. They used the word internment camp. You know, who knows? All right, that's what we do in America, right? You know, we've heard camps. Camps are the thing. I think my sarcasm's going to get me in trouble. These are always when I get into trouble. They ended up, they buried the 150 to 300 in unmarked graves, and nobody was able to go find their relatives or identify bodies or do anything because they were in the camps
not allowed to leave.
Right. And that they did a thorough investigation. No arrests were made. Turns out they're not sure anybody did anything wrong. That's pretty much how that played out. But these kind of things are allowed to go on. I mean, obviously, you know, certain riot stuff, you know, whatever, you can't, it gets away. And I don't know that you can always pin it on the government. I know in Ocoee, it was the local government that, you know, the deputy that rounded up a lynch mob and went out on these things. But we just let these things go on and play out and then just kind of cover it up and sweep it under the rug. And I don't even know what goes through people's heads. Now, the way I think this is happening, and I know everybody says in your mind, well, but this would never happen today because we're so much better, right? We're civilized. Do people have higher morals than they did in the 50s and the 20s?
Yeah, it's the same people, right?
Do you think that, you know, people are closer to the Bible and religion? And yeah, maybe religion, you know, you could say, well, that's the big problem. You know, it was because of religion that we all hated each other. You know, it's just disgusting. The big thing is that we end up dehumanizing each other. And that's the whole thing. You know, Hitler was really big on it with, you know, they called Jews rats and pigs. You know, they have racial slurs for African-American people. We have, you know, they would call, you know, they always used to say the dirty Jew or whatever. And, you know, we have words for, you know, Muslims or different things, you know, things that people say. And it's all meant to dehumanize each other. You know, people call people hippies or Democrats, commies, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of derogatory words.
Is Democrat a derogatory word? Maybe in some sense.
Well, I was hoping that would just slip through unnoticed. But yeah, exactly.
It seems that, you know, in this country today, we have this big thing where we label each other, you know, different words that are different, you know, to make sure that everyone knows that we're different than them, you know?
Right. And it's easy to dismiss them as having valid opinions because they have something that in our mind we built up as so dramatically wrong that they're not even human anymore. You know, if they could, you know, think politically so different than I do, you know, how could they like that orange haired freak? Right. You know, and that's, you know, how dare they, if they could see that, then they're not even human anymore. And that's how we see it. It's really despicable. You know, Republicans shouldn't be allowed to vote because, you know, we need to find a way to stop that. You know, it just gets so, and we're so isolated. You know, I would talk to people and they tell me about how, oh, my daughter doesn't talk to me anymore because I voted for Trump, or vice versa. You know, I don't talk to my kids anymore because they voted for some crazy Democrat, you know, who is, you know, Pelosi or whatever, you know, somebody that we hate. And, you know, and that's it. I mean, it's just, we hate Donald Trump. We hate Pelosi. We hate Schumer. We hate, you know, Mitch McConnell, you know, all these guys. And it's so easy to, I don't know, like we just dismiss the whole person as a whole. You know, my wife is in all these farmer groups on Facebook, and somebody will mention something political or whatever. And she honestly, like anytime she's in one that kind of spirals out of control politically, she ends up like trying to drop out of it or just, you know, I mean, like leaves the group altogether. And she's like, there's so few left that I could be a part of. And there's even like reasonable guys who will be like, you know, but could we talk about how it's kind of wrong that, you know, that somebody was kneeling on George Floyd's neck without it becoming political, you know, without it being this and that. Can a man just be wrong and whatever? And can we have a discussion? And then people have some kind of stuff and are like, oh, well, no, you're an idiot. And, you know, it just spirals. And we're so wound up as a society. And we have all these different groups that we all have to hate each other. And you're different than me and I'm different than you. And you misspoke and said the wrong thing. And now I secretly know you're a racist. And, you know, all this stuff. We just have so much hate and so much anger against each other. And we really do. And I think I was going to say, we really do see people as less than human. And or less than, you know, yeah, a valuable, you know, individual, you know, Ayn Rand with Atlas Shrugged kind of was big on, you know, if you have thought, you have value. You know, she kind of like, if you can't think and do anything, you don't need to necessarily be smart. But if you're not thinking, how are you different than, you know, a chair or anything else? And that's kind of how we build it up with the other political, you know, side of the aisle where, well, and, you know, and that's the same thing, you know, white people about black people and black people about white people and, you know, and Muslims against Christians and, you know, Jews, well, everybody against Jews. And, you know, it just, we all, well, they don't even think rationally, so they have no value, you know, and what the Indians, right? You know, when we the Trail of Tears and all that stuff, we call them savages. And we call them savages to imply like they don't even function in like a society kind of level. You know, when they say, what are you, a savage? You don't eat with silverware. You know, that's how we use those words today, right? Or, oh, you don't take your shoes off when you come in the house with muddy boots. What are you, a savage? You know, we say these things. And it's because it's meant to say, like, you don't even think or understand. You're so simple and you have no value. And that's what you do. You put these labels on each other, you know, as a society. I don't mean, you know, that we're doing, you know, whatever. But we all, and I mean, I'm sure there's stereotypes that in your mind you can see, you know, we kind of have certain little thoughts that'll, you know, pop in your head where you'll be like, oh, well, you know, that person, they do that because of this, and you dismiss whatever. And people do stuff just because they're crazy, you know? I mean, I dismiss people if they're communists. Obviously, you have no thought if you think that, you know, whatever. It's, you know, we all have our things. And now mine aren't necessarily based on race. It's your political affiliation when I hate you that, you know, if you're a socialist, I'm going to just that. But it's that's the thing. We group people together. We judge them as, you know, and it's so easy to dehumanize when you put things in groups like that and you get rid of the individual. And I feel like Facebook and the internet, it's so isolating. You see these tweets that people share and I'm sure that people share things that are kind of like they make you smile or laugh, but they're inappropriate, we'll say. And you automatically dismiss, oh, well, that guy's an idiot. Look at this horrible racist thing because they didn't see where you're coming from and your point of view. I feel like a lot of the inflection is lost when, you know, we connect on the internet.
You can't hear the inflection in a voice and sarcasm, things like that. And you type it out like people understand what your meaning is.
And, you know, and then you have these algorithms on Facebook where, you know, people show you things that reinforce what you believe. You know, so if you're like, oh, you know, cops are always beating on people, And whenever you see a post that has cops beating on people, you comment or like it or do whatever. All of a sudden, Facebook is showing you video after video of cops beating on people. You know, same thing. If I look at sawmills, all of a sudden they're showing me sawmill after sawmill after sawmill. Well, it's one of those like self-fulfilling kind of things where, you know, you're like, oh, the government's wrong. Look, Democrats only do evil things. And you keep commenting and liking, you know, things like that. Facebook will show you that. And, you know, vice versa. You know, Republicans are only doing evil things. Facebook will show you that. It's whatever you embrace, it builds. And we get such a slanted view of the world. And I think, you know, COVID adds to that. We don't go out. We don't talk face to face. We don't see each other anymore. And even then, we're hiding behind a mask, right? And the same thing, you know, oh, I think that the COVID vaccine is bad. Well, that's what I'm going to see on the internet. I think the COVID vaccine is good. That's what I'm going to see on the internet, you know, is article after article about what we want to hear. And it's so isolating. And it really makes it that we can dehumanize each other as individuals. And so, you know, I just think you guys need to, you know, just take a step back when you hate something, when you hate somebody, when you whatever. Know your reasons. Think about where you're coming from. Think about where the other people are coming from. But realize, you know, I mean, that's always one of my things. You know, I always get it big on gun control. And I'm like, have you seen what happens in history when the people have too much power and, you know, can kind of roll over you in the Ukraine? You know, right now, we allow things to go on. You know, we're like, oh, we would never, the Christians are being, you know, destroyed in Egypt. You were saying there's no Christians, zero Christians left
in Egypt.
Zero Christians in Egypt and throughout the Middle East, you know, they're murdering Christians. They're selling them in slavery. They're harvesting organs. We talked earlier in the podcast about the Muslims in China. And we don't do anything. So tell me that society has changed. Tell me that we're so much superior now. These things aren't going to happen. We can't let hate just escalate and, you know, go on out unchecked and out of control. You got to see people as people. Get to know people. Understand people. See where they're coming from. And, I mean, yeah, everybody does have value. And, you know, if you're, you know, like with Muslims and things that irritate me is if you're going to dehumanize somebody and treat them horribly, you know, yeah, I'm going to have a problem with you. I'm going to find it wrong. My tolerance doesn't go so far that I see everybody as, oh, well, that's okay because that's your religion. I was just reading something. They're talking about the different cultures. I think like the Aztecs or something they're talking about in schools. And, you know, and some of the Indians had like cannibalism and they had, you know, human sacrifice with the Aztecs and like that. And no, I'm not going to see that as okay. And that's like some of the schools are like, well, it's just a different culture. You just didn't understand it. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really the approach I would take. You know, I understand we can look at the world differently, but if you're going to disrespect human life, I'm still a defender of human life. I'm not saying go
understand
full.
Understand the German culture in the 1940s. You just don't understand. You don't get it.
Right.
Yeah. You can't. Cultural shit, but that's the thing. You can't tolerate.
That's the flip side. So don't be so tolerant that you're down for abuse and different stuff like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying understand that people have value and thought and get to know them and understand their culture before you decide you need to be filled with hate and whatever. And maybe take the hate down just like a notch, maybe even two notches, you know? And definitely if you find that you hate somebody because they look different, they dress different, they act a little different, then I have a problem. Then you need to get yourself in check and rethink your ideas. If you hate them because they like to keep women locked up in closets, then we could talk, you know, then we could say, hey, I feel like there might be a problem there. when you violate somebody else's rights in order to express your freedoms and liberties, then I can see that we can have a little less tolerance on that one. So be a little forgiving with our sarcasm. Understand where we're coming from just because I'm an ass. But basically that's where we're at. So if you're enjoying what you're hearing, you can support us on patreon.com. I believe we're getting those patches sometime soon, maybe. Patreon.com/prepping badass, and we will get some new patches out to those of you who've been patiently waiting and haven't sent us any angry emails. And also, Patreon, what else? Email us with show topics, ideas, questions, concerns at preppingbadass@gmail.com. If you want to be part of the discussion, you could also join us on Facebook in the Prepping Badass group, or I think facebook.com/survivalprepping is some kind of page that we have. I don't really know what's happening. And otherwise, if you went around, turns out we're not like, we have, I think, a greater audience, large numbers on like iTunes and things like that in the survival podcasts, but we don't rank so high when you look at it. And I was trying to figure it out, and it turns out we don't have many reviews. Like, we have like 200, but the guys who, you know, are ranked higher are like 1,000 reviews. And we don't really push you guys to leave reviews because, you know, whatever, man. I'm not a guy who leaves reviews. I don't do that kind of thing. But it turns out that maybe will help get the word out and, you know, get those numbers up. So if you wouldn't mind going and leaving a review and telling people how we offended you or whatever, and go on, you know, wherever you downloaded this podcast, leave us a review. We'd appreciate it. And with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.